You and I actually combined three times in a row to win the butter churning contest.
We did not defend our title last year. We decided to go out on top.
Yeah, exactly. You in the
06 Podcast. What kind of idiot would think that putting Carlos Zambrano in the bullpen for the Cubs was a realistic possibility, Matthew? What kind of idiot?
This guy right here. Two thumbs at this guy.
Really?
I don't know about realistic, but I suggested it as a possibility.
Outrageous. Outrageous.
Pod Vader, do we have the tape of this? Oh, let's listen in. Let's go back in time. This will be fun. Pennell admitted that when Lilly comes back, he could potentially put one of his starting rotation in the bullpen.
Who would he put in the bullpen?
I don't know. What about big Carlos Zambrano in the bullpen?
That's not going to happen.
Come on, why not? What about Big Z? Throwing strikes in the eighth inning. Probably not.
Okay.
But you never know. There's something interesting.
Well, here's my question, Matthew.
Yeah.
Who was co-hosting with you that day?
You were.
No, that doesn't sound like me. Those people are idiots.
Oh, my God. So great. So awesome. This has been a fantastic two-week stretch.
Well, I got that one wrong. Yeah. It's the first one of the year, I think. Definitely the first one of the year. Matt.
Oh, my goodness. Well, congratulations on admitting you're wrong on this one.
What do you think of that move, Matthew?
Well, clearly I saw it coming.
You're right.
I'm surprised.
I can particularly tell that by the part where you said probably not.
Listen, it was obviously surprising. I thought it could happen, but yeah. I would have been I'd be lying if I said I expected it to happen. But, you know, come on, a little props for me for calling that.
Yeah. What do you think of it now?
I think it's a good move, honestly. I mean, you know, because I think they've converted something like only 4 of 7 saves so far this year.
Right.
Their bullpen ERA is over 6. I mean, it's been absolutely brutal.
Right.
And, you know, listen, Zambrano has the, you know, kind of closer stuff. Now, it's interesting. Now, it'll be interesting because if you look at, and some people tweeted me this, you know, if you look at Zambrano's stats in terms of what he does in the first couple of innings versus what he does the rest of the game, not great. But, again, you know, different mentality. If you come in and you know you've only got one inning as opposed to maybe you're preparing for a 6-7 inning game.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see. But he's certainly got the, quote, classic closer stuff.
He's made 4 starts this year. How many starts do you think he makes this year?
I think he makes... He's made 4 this year. I think he ends with 15.
I think he ends with 20. I don't see this lasting very long. And Zambrano's actually said...
Yes.
...that he's been told it's temporary.
Correct.
Pennell's apparently saying, like, maybe, maybe not.
Right. Well, so, I mean, look, I think that in an ideal world, you're not paying $90+ million to a setup guy.
Well, you're not paying $90+ million. You're paying $19 million. That's what he makes this year.
That's what he makes this year. He's got a contract for over $90 million.
Yeah, but he's almost done with it.
He's got a couple years on it. Whatever. You're not paying $19 million for a setup guy.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, probably not.
I mean, I know they supposedly scouted like Braden Looper. I mean, the problem is
I mean,
that
they've got flamethrower Esmael Encarnacion coming back soon.
Yeah, you're, good God. Name something you've gotten right this year.
Looking good on our board wagers.
You are?
Yeah.
Stop it. Not
so
at
far.
All.
So far.
Not at all.
Looking
not even
good
close.
For me. Looking good for me.
Not at all.
All right, Matthew. So
anyway.
Zambrano clearly droppable in 10-team mixed leagues. 12? What about 12-team mixed leagues?
I don't think so in 12-team mixed leagues. And by the way, I mean, I think he's an interesting handcuff.
Okay.
I think, yes, in 10-team mixed leagues, you can drop him unless you're really scrounging for saves and hoping maybe he gets some.
Right.
But generally speaking, I think he's interesting in 12 teams. And by the way, I think if he's, and obviously you're holding on to him in NL only leagues,
right.
I actually think he'll be somewhat successful in this role.
Right. I would agree with that.
You know, had a brutal first start.
Yeah.
But you know, has pitched better since.
I just don't see this lasting. Remember, it's Carlos Silva and Tom Gorzlani rounding out that rotation.
Yeah, no, they're brutal.
Yeah.
They're brutal. But that's why you don't want Carlos Silva in the bullpen, because he's terrible.
That part I get. Right. I get the we're better off having him give up four runs in five innings
right.
than two runs in one inning.
Right.
But I just don't see this lasting. Hey, we're already into it, Pod, so why don't you just play the drop? That was the biggest buzz item of yesterday, Matthew.
My Twitter followers, where people follow me as Matthew Berry TMR, went off.
He was so giddy. Jay, I was on the phone, and Matthew came running over to my desk with this like big smile on his face. I'm like looking at him like, I have no idea what he's... I didn't know the news yet.
Right.
And I'm like, go away, I'm on the phone. And he's like, and he came back like 5 minutes later, and he's like bouncing up like a kid that just found out he's getting a Nintendo.
I was a kid on Christmas morning waiting for mom and dad to get up so
absolutely.
I could open my presents.
Absolutely.
I could not wait for him to get off the phone to be like, dude, Zambrano to the pen in your face.
It was like the same, exact same look on his face and behavior of my dog in the morning when she's like, hey, can you feed me now? Can you feed me now?
Right.
Like, seriously.
I could not have been more excited.
Exact same mannerisms and pretty much the same amount of slobber. Matthew, Phil Hughes takes a no-hitter into the eighth inning yesterday.
That's right.
Where were you on the Phil Hughes coming in the year? I don't think we talked about him a lot.
We don't really talk about him. I was more down on Jabba than I was really. You know, I liked Hughes, but I certainly was not one of his bandwagon supporters.
I didn't have a strong feeling either way.
Yeah, I was just kind of like, yeah, okay, AL-only play.
Yeah,
you know?
Could work, it might not.
Right. I don't think I ever took a strong stand on Hughes either way
in the
preseason.
Well, let me ask you this. So he's made just two starts.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 16 strikeouts and 12 and a third. Obviously, yesterday's start was great. He's available in 40% of ESPN.com leagues.
I think he's a spot starter.
Wade Davis is available in 50% of ESPN.com leagues. Went six innings yesterday, two hits, six strikeouts, three walks. Who would you rather have?
Wade Davis.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean... It's one, listen, a fantastic start by Hughes, and certainly he's got a great team behind him, but it was against Oakland.
Yeah.
At Oakland. You know, in that park.
Right.
Right? I mean, you look at Wade Davis's first three starts, Yankees, Red Sox, and Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And the White Sox. I mean, you know, Davis has come out reasonably unscathed from three of the best teams in the American League.
Right.
So I like Davis a little bit more.
I agree with you, actually. I agree with you. Ryan Zimmerman, Matthew, once again, having hamstring problems, so you won't rule out being able to play Thursday. But kind of a concern here.
Yeah.
For a youngish guy that's already having, you know, this is the second straight week he's at least missed a game, I think, with a hamstring issue.
Yeah, it's a little concerning. I think it's more kind of you raise your eyebrow, Jimmy Rollins rule in effect, than
exactly.
It is anything else.
The same thing with Nelson Cruz.
Right.
Who left yesterday's game in the 11th inning. Now, granted, it was the 11th inning.
Right.
With what's being called fatigue in his right hamstring.
Right.
Meanwhile...
I'm not worried about Cruz long term.
Meanwhile, speaking of hamstrings, Mark Ellis
goes
on the 15-day
DL. Hold on.
What?
The only difference with Nelson Cruz is that he had hamstring issues the day before as well.
Yeah, well, he had a cramp. He said he had a cramp the day before. How's that different?
He's had two straight days of hamstring injury.
As opposed to Ryan Zimmerman said two straight weeks?
Listen, I'm just saying the Jimmy Rollins rule applies a little bit more to Nelson Cruz than I think it does to Ryan Zimmerman.
I disagree. Ryan Zimmerman has a longer track record of problems in this area.
Okay, well then, see you.
Dating back to last week.
Nice.
So Mark Ellis.
Nicely done. By the way, let's just take one moment while we're sitting here basking in the Carlos Zambrano being moved to the pen after you completely crap on that idea. And
right.
You know, we're still within the afterglow of you completely crapping on the idea that Kevin Gregg becomes the closer of the Blue Jays. Let's point out that the Jimmy Rollins rule came into effect because you completely poo-pooed the idea that we need to discuss Jimmy Rollins' injury.
Yeah, this is true.
Anyway, this has been a good week for me. Just saying.
Good week to
be Matty.
I disagree.
You disagree it's a good week to be me?
I disagree with your assessment of each of those things, except for Zambrano.
I'm sure you do.
So Mark Ellis, Matthew, goes in the 15-day DL with hamstring injury. Nice little opportunity here for Adam Rosales. He's played really well.
He's playing really well, and he's been playing a lot. I mean, Ellis hasn't been in the lineup.
Right.
So, you know, they finally put him on the DL, but it's not like he'd been playing all up to this time, and now all of a sudden.
Right, and he'd even DH'd at one game. I mean, he is their starter. He should be playing, but he's been nicked up.
Right. So my point is that Rosales has actually been playing,
right,
and he's been playing well.
Right.
And the question about Rosales was, well, he's just not getting any playing time. But I'm with you. I think he's a nice little player, and he's been performing well when Ellis is out. And by the way, I mean, you look around, you know, you look around at sort of the A's with, you know, Pod Vader's beloved Eric Chavez at DH.
Right.
I mean, I think if he hits, they'll find a way to keep Rosales in the lineup.
By the way, responsible for breaking up the Phil Hughes no-hitter.
What's that?
Eric Chavez responsible for breaking up the no-hitter by Phil Hughes.
That's right.
I can't believe that wasn't a bullet on our
I'm surprised that didn't make the list.
News items here today.
I thought it was. And it is. See, Hughes lost his bid when Eric Chavez bounced a hard comeback.
Wow.
That's funny.
It really is.
We skimmed the notes.
I didn't even really read that. Interesting.
Impressive. You need to put Eric Chavez in bold letters, Pod.
Matthew, Houston Street could throw off the mound this weekend, trying to come back from his shoulder problems.
Not a minute too soon.
He's been dropped in some leagues.
Go get him.
Would you rather have Houston Street the rest of the way or either of the Toronto guys?
Street.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think he's going to come back from this. It's kind of just a gut feeling, though.
Yeah.
You, too?
Yeah. I have a piece coming out later today on ESPN.com where I talk about sort of some hot starts and
right,
you know, what I think is, you know, who kind of the real guy is. And I mentioned that I think, actually, that Kevin Gregg has had 23 saves.
Right.
At least 23 saves each of the last 3 years, and I believe he gets that many this year.
So I'm pulling up the board right now, mm-hmm, which we need to get some more bets on this board. It's a little sparse, this board.
Is
right
it?
Now.
Is it a sparse board?
Well, here's
shouldn't I have like a 3-0 lead just on Zambrano and Kevin Gregg alone? I should. You should just give me like.
I brought this up the last time. If you want to start throwing out unofficial, you know, statements that were right or wrong, it's not going to work out well for you.
I disagree with that.
But here's what we just got on the board so far, yes, Matthew. Mm. Bobby Jenks over under 30 saves. So I'm pace for 32, so I'm looking good there.
I'm winning that bet.
Manny Ramirez over under 27.5 home runs. He's on pace for exactly 27, so I'm winning that one right now. Higher player rater value, as Drubal Cabrera or Orlando Cabrera. Neither one of them's really done a whole lot so far.
I would be surprised.
You're probably winning that one on batting average. But
it's close.
Orlando's got twice as many home runs, so
whatever.
It's close.
Yes.
Arbiter Kiaspo over under 600 plate appearances. He's on pace for 720, so I'm in good shape there.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Figgins over under 291 batting average. He's hitting 192, so you're in good shape there.
Thank you.
Higher batting average, a minimum 250 at bats. Alcides Escobar or Rafael Furcal. That one's looking really good for me.
Yeah, you have Furcal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Higher player rater value, Francisco Liriano, who had a nice start yesterday.
Thank you.
Which works his way into the conversation with Kevin Slowey, who's had a few nice starts.
Yes.
So, they're probably about dead even right now, actually. Maybe Liriano with a slight edge. Higher player rater value, Nick Markakis or Adam Jones? Well, this is the, what do you want to call it? Like the tallest midget in the sideshow?
Right, exactly.
Cause they've both pretty much been terrible.
The thinnest kid at fat camp?
Right, exactly. Right. Ichiro Suzuki over under 39.5 steals. How did you even talk me into that one? That's an outrage. That's an outrage that you made me put 39.5 on that. And by the way, he's on pace for 41.
There you go.
David Wright over under 25.5 home runs. I'm on pace to win that one. Most saves in the Padres, not named Heath Bell. Well, we don't know anything about that. And John Danks finishes 10 spots ahead of Max Scherzer on the player radar.
Danks has been ridiculous, but so has Max.
I don't think Max has been ridiculous.
He's been pretty good. He's been pretty, pretty good.
I'm going to disagree with you.
Yeah?
Let's pull this up here. Well, good ERA. Only 10 strikeouts, though. He's not going to win that wager having 10 strikeouts every 3 starts.
No, he needs to increase that.
He does need to
increase
that.
But he will.
All right, well, we need to get some more wagers on that board.
All right.
So let's keep our old ears up for that in the coming days, all right?
When have I ever denied you?
Anything else for you from last night? Or just in general news front?
No, I didn't. Nothing really. I didn't think there was anything like major other than the, of course, Zambrano news.
Fantasy Focus at ESPNRadio.com.
Well, I said it before, and I'm going to say it again.
Fantasy Focus at ESPNRadio.com.
I find a little weird, I have to ask twice.
Brr.
I will say this, however, Nate.
All right.
I encourage people later this afternoon to read my column on ESPN.com because I think there are a lot of like kind of little newsy nuggets in there and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Thoughts about some good. People.
All right, good.
That I think people will enjoy.
Tim in Amish country.
Although, you know what, I'll take this back. Actually, there is one thing we ought to talk about, and that's Darnell McDonald.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. I got to be honest. I don't know a ton about McDonald.
I know. He's a, like, probably 30-year-old, you know, career quadruple A guy, basically.
Right.
That every year gets a couple of weeks in the majors with somebody. I saw this. He's with the Red Sox now, right?
Two home runs in two games.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that's a team that needs something. And has some injuries in the outfield.
Yeah. He's 31 years old. He's got in his career only, what is it, like 379 at-bats, 373 at-bats in the majors. No, that's wrong. 152 at-bats in the majors, hit 243. Hasn't really torn up the minors. This isn't going to last.
No, fair enough. I'll buy that. Like I said, he's not a guy that was on my radar, obviously. You know, certainly impressive.
Matthew, Tim in Amish country.
Interesting.
They love us there.
You know, it's odd, though. Don't the Amish not have internets and iPods and that kind of stuff?
I don't know.
Seems suspect that he's in Amish country and somehow he listens to us.
Well, maybe he's not. It doesn't say he's Amish. He just says he's in Amish country.
Nonetheless.
You and I cannot walk the streets of Amish country without being physically assaulted.
That's factually correct. You and I actually combine three times in a row to win the butter churning contest. We're three-time butter churners, champions.
We did not defend our title last year. We decided to go out on top.
Yeah, exactly right.
So Tim says, go Pelicans.
Sure.
Chad Billingsley, the buzzsaw, has suddenly become available in my league. Are his early struggles cause for concern, or should I grab him? Please play the name game. A newly sober Miguel Cabrera.
Speaking of another guy that's just sort of like always underrated.
Philanthropic Frank.
I really like, God help me, I really like Eric Bedard.
Clearly, I'm going the opposite way.
I have no problem with Lincecum.
Serena Williams or Kanye West.
We enjoy the nonsense.
Mark Teixeira stinks every April.
Nothing sexy about Orlando Cabrera.
I don't really care either way.
You can wrap up at any point.
And scene. All right, Matthew. Chad Billingsley or Josh Beckett?
Beckett.
Billingsley or Hamels?
Hamels.
Billingsley or Kuroda?
Kuroda.
Really? I agreed with you on the first two. I would have gone with the buzzsaw there.
It's close.
Billingsley.
It's close, but keep going, and then I'll...
Billingsley or Max Scherzer?
Mad Max.
Would you like to put that on the board?
Billingsley versus Mad Max?
Yeah.
Good God, I have a lot going on in Mad Max, but you betcha!
So,
Player Rater,
end of the year.
End of the
Chad
year.
Chad Billingsley versus Max Scherzer.
I believe Max Scherzer will be higher than Chad Billingsley on the Player Rater.
You believe wrong.
Put it on the board!
Put it on the board.
Tim Hudson.
Someone buy me a Max Scherzer jersey. Good God, I'm all in on him.
Tim Hudson?
Tim Hudson I'd rather have over Billingsley.
I'd take Hudson there. Ricky Romero.
Billingsley.
And Frank Francisco, that one doesn't even make sense. No. I mean.
No, well, he's in Amish country.
All right, so going back to Kuroda now.
Well, I actually, Billingsley is one of the guys that's in my column today. And I come to the conclusions. I actually, this is going to shock you because it surprised me as well.
Okay.
I actually did a little bit of research.
Okay.
I went on the fan graphs. I looked at a whole bunch of stuff and I got to tell you something.
Yeah.
It's really disturbing. He's giving up more home runs. The velocity seems like it's a little bit down. He's not using his fastball nearly as much. And it doesn't seem to be working for him. And in fact, you know, since kind of the middle of last year, he hasn't been the same pitcher for whatever. I believe that he's not a guy that's going to finish an ERA over 7, obviously.
Right.
But I believe he finishes the year with an ERA around 4.
Well, that could be. That's possible.
You know, and I don't think he's the guy that people expected.
All right. Fair enough. This one
anyway,
comes
you
from,
can read more about my whole Billingsley stuff later today on ESPN.com.
This one comes from Air Marcus. Dear Fantasy Mutant Spider Monkeys, do you feel that Aroldis Chapman will take the place of the artist formerly known as Aaron Harang in the near future?
Ugh. Could Harang be more brutal?
He really couldn't be.
Yeah.
I wasn't on the bandwagon like I was last year, but I was caught guardedly optimistic.
I was too.
And
dead wrong.
Not happening so far.
Ooh. It's been bad.
It's been real bad. 6 home runs, 21 and 2/3. Not good.
Not good.
Chapman, I don't know that Harang's success or lack of it is going to factor a whole lot into this. They're going to bring him up. It's not like they're loaded in the rotation. And they're going to bring him up when they think he's ready. It certainly doesn't hurt that Harang is stinking up the joint, and so are a bunch of the other guys, Homer Bailey.
Yeah. I think they'll keep Harang in the rotation as long as possible.
Yeah.
Because I think they want to trade him or Arroyo.
Well, there's not going to be any market for Harang. Arroyo, maybe. But I think Chapman is up in mid to late May.
I agree with that.
Beginning of June at the latest.
I agree. Yeah. I definitely think he's coming up before Strasburg.
He says, P.S., Pavada, real men do care. I actually disagree with that. I think Strasburg will be up sooner.
Interesting. Really?
Yep.
Would you care to put that on the board?
I think it's silly, but sure.
Of course it's silly. It's completely arbitrary.
Who makes the major league debut first?
Yeah. Or I say Aroldis Chapman.
I say Steven Strasburg.
Put it on the board!
Put it on the board.
Marcus also says, P.S. Pavada, real men do karaoke at bowling alleys. Stay strong. Was this something I missed?
This was something you missed. Last week, Pod Vader came in on Monday, all proud of himself.
Okay.
And we didn't get a chance to talk about it until you were gone. But basically, he had been he took Queen Podmadala on a big night out in the evening.
Okay.
They went to Wallingford.
Okay.
They went to a bowling alley in Wallingford where they did karaoke, and Pod Vader did, was it Wanted Dead or Alive, Pod?
That's correct.
Yeah. Did a little karaoke, did a little Jovi.
Okay.
He was very proud of himself.
And stealing Nate Ravitz's line, that bowling alley no longer exists. I took the house down.
You stole what?
I stole your line.
He's saying that bowling alley no longer exists because he tore the house
down. Oh, wow. All right. Well
so
done.
So people of Wallingford now without bowling facilities.
It's all Pod Vader's
without
fault.
Bowling or karaoke for that.
Pretty much. Anyway, we made a lot of fun of Jay for that. That was the big night out. That he didn't take the wife, you know, to somewhere fancy or somewhere nice. That it was.
We went out to dinner. We had a very nice dinner.
Sure you did.
Dane in Vancouver says, I received an interesting trade offer in my 16-team league that counts. He says it counts BIF average. I think he means both average, but I was almost going to read this as birth average.
Huh.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm pretty sure that every player in the league had a birth average of 1,000.
I believe, yes.
You know what I mean?
I believe so, yes.
Counts both batting average and hits in 6 offensive categories. I was offered Prince Fielder, David DeJesus, and Joaquin Arias. He would give up Vernon Wells, Carlos Lee, and Martin Prado.
No.
He says I'd be giving up 3 high-quality players, but I'd be getting the best player in the deal.
I would not do that.
Yeah, but Arias is not even a starter.
Right.
DeJesus is a, you know,
is
pretty much the definition
of replacement level. Yeah.
And whether Wells keeps it up or not, Lee is good, and Prado's really good.
Especially in a league like that. So, yeah, I mean,
Prado might have, you know, close to 200 hits this year.
Exactly.
How many hits did Prado have last year? I'm just curious if that was an outrageous statement I just made.
I don't think it is. It didn't strike me as outrageous.
He had 138 hits last year in 128 games. So, over a full season, he'd probably be more like 160, 170, but he could be, you know, he could be in the neighborhood.
Right. He's playing very well this year.
Yeah.
I mean, and by the way, this is the first year, you know, he's always been sort of a fill-in guy. I mean, last year it wasn't until much later in the year that he got consistent playing time. So maybe, you know, now that he knows he's the guy and in a groove.
Yeah.
I could see that improving. But I would not do that deal.
Mike says, go Varsity Blues.
Oh, interesting.
Like the movie?
Maybe like the movie.
An underrated movie.
You know, it's not bad. It's very watchable.
I just thought of a ridiculous board bet we can make.
Okay.
You watch The American Idol, don't you?
I do watch The American Idol.
This is the, like, tangent of all
tangents.
I do.
I have not seen it this week, however, so I don't know who got voted off this week.
Why don't we put who got voted off this week on the board?
No, thank you on that one.
Why don't we put who's going to win on the board?
All right, who do you think?
If you picked the person that got thrown out, I will tell you that the person got thrown out. I think Lita Wise is going to win.
He might. He's got a real good shot, I think.
I already have a wager with ESPN Deport. Is it with Beth?
It's with Beth.
It's with Beth's right. Okay.
I
thought it was with somebody else. So yeah, I have a wager with Beth that it will be a male that wins the show this year.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. She believes it'll be female.
Our mutual friend Beth.
Right.
So listeners are like, Beth who?
Right. You gonna give me the field? Lita Wise versus the field?
No. Of course not. You got to pick a person.
I actually...
Would you have picked Lee?
I might have picked Lee. I think Crystal Bowersox has a real shot.
Okay. Do you want to... Do you want to put that on the board?
I really don't like Crystal Bowersox. I got to be honest. But I think she's got a real shot at winning.
Right. Well, we don't have
real
to put
shot
that
at
on the
winning
board,
that. But that's fine. Put that one on. Put that one on. I'll put, Crystal Bowersox versus Lee DeWise.
Lee DeWise is going to win American Idol, Matt.
I think there's a very good chance he wins American Idol. I'm with you.
Well, that's not the way you tee up and put it on the board.
Whatever. I'm trying to...
Are we putting it on the board or not?
Well, listen, you just said you think Lee DeWise is going to win, so give me the field. Lee DeWise versus the field. You just said he's going to win.
Get out of here.
You just said he's going to win. Pod Vader did not just say Lee DeWise is going
to
win.
Get out of here.
I'm curious as to why you think he has such a strong chance of winning, because I think Crystal is a much better artist.
I think a lot of the show is about who's going to appeal to the audience.
Right.
So
Lee DeWise appeals to a bigger cross-section of... Like last year, Adam Lambert was the better artist. Chris Allen appealed to more people. He was less polarized.
I think both of the remaining girls in the show, and this is why I made that bet with Beth a month ago, just don't have wide-ranging appeal. I think there's going to be people that really love them, but nobody that's on the fence is going to vote for them.
You don't think Mama Socks appeals?
Nope.
You don't think that Janis Joplin type
is
strong across
the dreads are brutal. She's got bad teeth.
Like I said, folks, the tangent of all tangents here. Right. So are we putting this on the board or not?
Give me Lee DeWise versus the field.
No. Get out of here. You are a word I can't say on the air.
What are you talking about?
That means a wimp.
Fine. I don't care. That's fine. But Crystal Bowersox, you want to put in if neither one of them wins, then the bet's off.
Sure. It's a push.
Lee DeWise versus Crystal Bowersox. Put it on the board!
Put it on the board.
Now I've got to root for what?
Take
she
four.
Is!
Take four. Take four.
Now I have to root for the unappealing Crystal Bowersox. How about
I don't
that?
Understand where you guys think she's unappealing.
I don't
Frankly,
know.
Frankly, I'm behind.
She's unbelievably talented. She's just, I don't know, the dreads and the teeth and that. I'm just.
Oh, my God. All right. You're bad.
Wow.
All right. So Mike says go Varsity Blues.
Right.
We're gonna.
Nate, have you ever appeared naked with nothing but strategically shaving cream?
I have not.
To one of your loved ones?
That was whipped cream, not shaving cream.
Oh, whipped cream. You're right.
It was a Sunday. It was a bikini Sunday.
It was a bikini Sunday.
The great Allie Larder.
Yes, in one of her film roles, and it didn't work.
Dawson could not.
Dawson would not do it.
She tried to.
It was their only way out of town.
She tried to sway Dawson. Sadly, he could not be swayed.
Right.
All right. So Mike wants to know, I own both Want Beer and Alex Rios in a league with walks and extra hitting and hits as extra hitting categories, walks and hits. Brett Garner and Scott Pesenik are both available on the waiver wire. Believe it or not, I'd like your advice on who you like for the rest of the season. I would not drop Pierre or Rios for Garner or Pesenik.
I agree with that statement.
None of those guys walk, so.
Right. I will agree with that statement. This said, Podsednik is another guy that's in my little column today.
Yeah.
And I came to the conclusion after, again, doing research. And don't get used to this, people. I'm not going to be doing research again. So don't enjoy today because it's going to be all half-assed the rest of the year as normal. But looking at Podsednik, actually his walks are up somewhat this year. I actually came to the conclusion that I think Podsednik's legit.
Okay.
I think what you're, you know, obviously he's not going to hit like close to 400 or whatever, but I do think that, yes, I think he will hit for a reasonably good average and continue to get on base and steal.
Tyler says, go Broncos. He says, hey, raving fantasy narwhals.
I don't even know what that is.
No. So he says, on Tuesday's podcast, he's referring to the Zambrano thing. He says, on Wednesday's podcast, Nate said I would trade for Zambrano and Anno only. So Nate, would you still trade for Big Z as a setup man? Yes, I would. I don't think he stays a setup man.
Correct.
He says, if Nate is not an idiot, then he is something far worse, like a MuggleCast listener. You take that back, Tyler.
It's outrageous. Nate would never weasel. As weaselly as he is, he wouldn't be that weaselly.
To listen to the MuggleCast?
Yeah, to listen to the competition.
Denton in Pike, New Hampshire.
I could see Casey James, by the way, winning an Idol. Just as I'm thinking about through the... I could see him. He's kind of a dark horse. People seem to like the Casey James. I don't think Michael Lynch has a chance.
I don't think Casey James has a chance.
All right.
Well, Michael Lynch was already voted off once, so he clearly has no chance.
This is true. Denton from Pike, New Hampshire says, go Bison. Stomp, stomp, stomp. I found an online sample of the Wunderlich test. After taking it, I came to the conclusion I am not an idiot. I scored 27. which according to Wikipedia affords me my choice of NFL positions based on mental capacity. However, it should be noted that after evaluating the physical component of competition, I rate somewhere in the ball boy chain gang neighborhood. Now, after furnishing proof that I'm not an idiot, I demand an apology from Nate. But before you do so, I'm willing to rescind my request for an apology for entry into the man's league.
No, just apologize to him.
Denton and Pike, New Hampshire, I apologize, my friend. You are not an idiot.
There you go.
Everyone else, still idiots.
Wait a second. Wait. But he had a misspelling, a very easy misspelling in that email, so I claim he still is an idiot.
Which misspelling?
I believe it was where you said do. I believe he wrote two.
Oh, I don't know.
It's towards the end.
I auto-edit the emails in my head as I'm reading them. So.
Did he send in a copy of his Wonderlic?
He did not.
So he might be lying.
Yeah, he could be lying.
All right, last question. And by the way, we've moved off the fantasy. Rowan says, I'm a junior at New York University and doing a final term paper on fantasy sports with a, quote, focus on baseball and football for my gaming industry and media course.
Gaming industry and media course?
Apparently, dude.
How am I not a professor of this thing?
Yeah. My main argument is that fantasy games enhance the experience of sports for fans and non-fans alike and make sports that much better.
Of course.
As opposed to those like Skip Bayless who say otherwise. I have great sources of support for my paper, but there's no way I can make the definitive argument and get an A without using you guys as a source. If there's a quick statement you could make to cement the factually correct nature of my argument, what would it be? Quick statement we can make to support his case that fantasy games enhance the experience of sports. Sports fans.
Well, I think what it does, obviously, is it gives you a wider appeal. If you're a sports fan, like, for example, let's take the NFL quickly, right? You're a Jets fan.
Right.
Have been. You'll watch every Jets game.
Right.
You always will. I'm a Redskins fan. Lord help me. I'll watch every Redskins game. Pod Vader's a Patriots fan. He's always going to watch New England.
Right.
But because we all play fantasy, we now have a rooting interest in games that don't involve our teams.
Right.
Would I watch necessarily a Detroit Lions, Tampa Bay Buccaneers game? No, I wouldn't. Unless I have Calvin Johnson on my fantasy team, or I'm playing against Derek Ward because somebody bought into your preseason love.
Yeah.
So I would not, you know, that's what it does, is it gives you a rooting interest in more games, gives you a deeper knowledge and appreciation of the game, and it's one of the reasons why, and it's because of this, that the leagues themselves have embraced fantasy sports. You can't watch a NFL or MLB game or NBA game without seeing the league sites themselves promoting fantasy and playing.
If I may add, from the producer side of the glass, before I even had this job, I used to play fantasy sports merely to keep up with what was going on, like the NBA. Not a big NBA fan, but I played fantasy NBA just so I knew what was going on in the NBA.
I've had many people that do what we do for a living. And I shouldn't say, I've had many people that not aren't necessarily fantasy guys, but that they do broadcast or write about sports for a living.
And by the way, there's nobody that does what you and I do for a living.
Right, that's a good point.
There's no one else that does this.
Steal paychecks?
There's no one else that does. Well, there's people that do that.
Right.
Nobody that does this precisely.
Right. And have said, you know, that they find it, Ryan Russillo is a guy, our friend, the great Ryan Russillo, plays fantasy sports, and he's told me many times, he says, I find it a great way to keep up on every single player and that kind of stuff. You know, there's been a study, it was in the New York Times in 2003, where basically they showed that the NFL did this study, and it found out that the average fantasy player watched 3 hours more football a week than the average football fan. And so
neither of you has argued, by the way, fantasy games enhance the experience. You've just argued that they consume more, and you've argued that that helps you do your job better.
That's enhancing.
You're both being too wordy. Here's a very simple answer to this question.
Hold on. Help and enhance are similes.
Here's a very simple answer to this question that he can include as a audio visual for his term paper. Just play the Eric Hutchinson theme song. That's all the evidence you need. That fantasy games enhance the experience. That fantasy games deliver to humanity the great theme song of this podcast from international recording superstar Eric Hutchinson. That's all you need!
I'm assuming that you, by watching more games, you are obviously enjoying and that it enhances your experience.
Maybe. Certainly for somebody that otherwise would only watch the Redskins, it's got to enhance it.
Exactly. Yes.
Are we done?
Yeah. No, listen.
You got someplace to get to.
I got a little bit of time. We started early today.
We don't, so we're out of here.
All right, well then, peace out.
The theme song for the Fantasy Focus was created and performed by Eric Hutchinson. Check out more of his music at erichutchinson.com. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Focus. For more baseball talk, be sure to check out Baseball Tonight, Monday through Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com.